JP, your tour guide today on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Hello there, and in my ongoing request to the universe to bring me new and exciting and interesting and delightful things to talk about on my show, who should call me up 10 minutes ago, but Eva Moore, and so here she is, and Eva's gonna be hooking up with Bill later on, so when she gets the call, she'll be disappearing, and at that time, I will be opening up for call-ins if anybody wants to have a reading or even discuss the latest things. So, Eva, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, JP. It's been an interesting year, and the most recent development is that they transferred Bill to Seattle, and I am now, for the first time in a year, able to actually have visits, face-to-face visits with Bill, where we get to walk in, embrace, kiss, speak, sitting across from one another, holding hands for about 2 hours, and then embrace and kiss goodbye. And that happens 4 days a week, and it's been interesting. I liken it to chaperoned dating.
It's very high school, isn't it?
Yes, and you had kind of commented on that beforehand. You were speaking about the fact that things are very tempered. Can you kind of lead me down that question again? Because I really wanted to hear your thought process and answer it, because I think it was really on point.
Well, you know, these days, people meet each other, and it's just like they have it in movies, you know, people imitate the movies, and you know, courtship is right out the window. It's, you know, it's straight into the sack and straight to the cigarette, you know, or pizza afterwards, or whatever you want to do. But there's no space for really getting to know someone in the courtship process these days, it seems. And in some ways, you're getting the opportunity to really get to know someone on a lot of other levels than the purely kind of, you know.
Well, yeah. Bizarre, right? And I look for patterns, and I look at patterns on the micro and the macro, ones that I feel directly are outpicturing through me, but also in systems, and that was the topic of my lecture that I gave at the Super Soldier Summit, was about patterns in the system, so more in the macro than the micro. And I look at what manifests as a product of program on a, you know, if you want to think software, that's kind of how I think things exist, is through a fractal, scalar mathematical algorithm that we don't all necessarily see unless we're the lovely Aaron Hicks or a small group of people that understand that process of algorithm and how it manifests in the unseen to the seen. And there are mathematicians out there that are currently working to break the, or to understand these algorithms, life codes. And I think Elizabeth Rocher is one, and she's been working with Nassim. And Nassim is the other, I would say. And he's just phenomenal. And I'm so excited to hear that Nassim and Stephen Greer are going to team up for a radio show here coming up on the 25th or the 28th. I have to figure out what that was, date-wise, but you know, I'm an amateur, and I'm a house mom that dabbles in fractal holographic consciousness on the side, just as a life skill more than anything, as a single mom trying to get through, you know, the lemons that life hands you, I make lemonade with holographics.
So cute.
It's interesting that it got me here, because I really did not expect this. But I made a personal commitment to stop trying to fit corporate 9-to-5 pressures, trying to fit my goals or my dreams or my calling, which is this holographic patterns and holographic reality and the application of it to consciousness. I made a commitment to myself to stop trying to fit it into the corporate life. Instead, I wanted to clear the slate and make it the foundation to which then I would build upon. And when I met Bill and he and I started to converse, and both, you know, in the short time period that it was, the one priority I had was, is this in alignment with my goal of holodynamics, meaning the application of the micro-macro to making this world better? Because I kind of look at holodynamics as like a Tony Robbins course, but it adds in the fractal, scalar, holographics. And so it's a personal development tool for your tool belt, but the whole point of it at the end, he says, so now what? So now you're just going to go make money and have a great life, or what? Are you going to make a difference on this planet? Like, what's the purpose of all this self-development if it's not for service to others? Which really resonated with me. And the coolest thing is that he had, you know, created this network for others to really start to push the boundaries of what is possible and how we can make a difference and to show up in new ways, which is just phenomenal. And I think the two are correlated so closely in that as you do the inner work and upgrade the software, so the personal development, you make space for the new improved versions of software to download. And we are like, you know, the programmers or the system operator walking around a planet in these meat holographic suits without the user manual. And we're like bumping into each other going, what's the point of this? This sucks. And it's like only because we don't understand, we have this software running that is the it sucks version. And so we got to get to work to upgrade this processor so that we can download the new and, you know, really get the good stuff coming in. And I do 100% believe that, you know, holographics is where it's at. It's really freaking sexy.
It's nerdy and sexy all at the same time, which is really good.
It's a priority, yes.
It's that's the thing. Now, here's a because you raised several very interesting points, and I'm just gonna try and get back to the one that. That caught my mind, and it's really the idea, right? Okay, so here I am. You know I'm a programmer, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So I learn loads of languages, you know, because, you know, machines evolve, you get different, you have to do different software, and so I've learned lots of computer languages over the years.
What's the German one?
German?
Is that cat or... there's like a German coding.
Really?
German.
Really? I've never heard of a German language, and I imagine that there should be one.
Like a programming language?
Yeah, I've never, to be honest, I've, you know.
It's old school, but it's like.
It's called what?
It's old school, but it's fundamental.
Yeah. Well, you see, I learned the first thing called Fortran and something called Basic and, you know, they were very, very common languages, and I do Visual Basic and C and PHP and things like that nowadays. But the point I'm getting to is that every language is basically the same thing. There are only three things that programs ever do. That's make a choice, do a comparison, or branch, you know, go to a different place. And all software is built on those three kind of basics. So where I'm going with that is that there must be a corresponding coding in the human hologram. You understand what I'm talking about? That if there is a language, it will have certain basics.
Yeah.
You build up into macros.
Yeah, the fundamental premise that it then pulls from.
Yeah.
Yeah, and part of what Holodynamics does is provide that, which I thought was really freaking cool and genius, which starts with the fact that, you know, there is patterns, and there are patterns that are developed out of nature. And that's what we really forget, is that there are universal law, and there are laws of nature that govern everything. And... Go ahead.
So it's funny, sitting here in this rather filthy T-shirt, because I've been gardening all day and I got dirt all over it. But I actually have a Mandelbrot fractal. You try saying that. Mandelbrot fractal on my T-shirt right as I'm speaking. So, yeah, well, the fractal nature of the universe.
Well, what are the chances?
Indeed. Well, you know, I'm just so holographic. Anyway, you know that.
Well, and we're talking about natural scalar law, right? And
yeah.
The fact that there is an developing and unfolding that is taking natural course. And sometimes there's chaos and sometimes there's order, and sometimes there's chaos in order and order in chaos. And it's this, like you said, the Mandelbrot pattern repeating all the way up, all the way down.
That's right.
And so, okay. So here we are. We're on this planet. And I'm like this house mom who's like, okay, I'm done with corporate Sally-ness. I can do that, but it's really not very fulfilling. And
hang on a second, Eva.
Uh-huh.
Hang on a second. You're a corporate house mom. What does that mean? Did you have a career?
Oh, well, yeah, like my background is preventative health. That's my passion. And at the time, I've been living in Calgary for the past 10 years. Well, not last year, but the previous 10 years. And Calgary's a city of 1 million people. It's oil and gas. It's, interestingly enough, predominantly white collar. The majority of the people have moved from other areas to Calgary, so everybody's a bit disenfranchised and wears black to fit in.
Sounds like Aberdeen.
So, you know, it's oil and gas money. Mm. And being that I've been a single mom, and I'm really motivated and have been living the past 15 years, you know, with what's good for my son is good for me as my parameter, filter. You know, that meant taking myself and he to a city where money was more readily available than, say, in other areas, so that I could provide for him as a single parent. Mm-hmm. And however, where I drew the line is I wasn't really interested in doing the oil and gas, even though the money was so good. I just couldn't bring myself there.
Yeah.
But being that my background through, you know, faceplant traumas was preventative health, meaning, you know, I learned that through a bout of depression that preventative health, diet, and exercise is really all we need to upgrade this meat suit holographic version to a higher vibration, which then allows for downloads to happen. The software downloads to happen. If we get our physical bodies moving in the garden, interacting with nature even better, then we raise the vibration of the meat suit so that the water molecules can get more source code download. And so that really was what motivated me. And, the upside in a white-collar corporate city is that everybody wants to look good while they schmooze.
Mm.
because that transitions to money. Mm-hmm. So it was a win-win situation in that I could be in a city where it's predominantly white collar and I don't have to sell my soul to the oil and gas industry. I can just pimp out tools for them to look good naked. Which is the side effect bonus when you take care of your physical meat suit. And so I worked for naturopaths. I really want to become a naturopathic doctor and do holistic medicine. But as a single mom, I felt the priority was to pay the bills and the roof. And so I worked beside naturopaths for the last 10 years. And that's been a really awesome cutting edge journey. However, it's still, you know, I'm learning about holographics and I am the secretary who answers the phone. And it's like that there was a gap between who I was being and how I wanted to be in a work environment that apparently, when I made that intrinsic shift that I wasn't going to just stay corporate Sally answering the phone, I wanted to start to really embody what I wanted to be, and I didn't have a clue what that would look like. That was the scariest part, is that I didn't understand how that would transition, let alone as fast as it did, but it did. And that's, you know, I share this as transparently as possible because I think it's really a godsend in a lot of ways, because there's so many people that have so many responsibilities and have something written on their heart that they're not able to fulfill in their day-to-day job and their job. And I hope that in just sharing the simplicity of this story, as transparent as I can, it will empower others to take leaps of faith outside of what is sensical, outside of what the source code would program you to do. But, you know, that saying, you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you've always gotten. And that's the problem with society, is that we've been conditioned by these old archetype paradigm source codes. And it's like this disconnect cavern of where we know we could be based on where we are.
We need to weed out our memes, really.
So yeah!
We got some meme weeds. Like you just said, you know, and, you know, these limiting things, you know, there's only one pie kind of idea, and, you know, there's only so much pie that everybody can have. It's all limiting, and it limits our minds, and it limits our way of thinking. Muggsy was on my show last night, and she was getting at me because I was using limiting language. So everybody's having to watch, It's a very very interesting day, energy wise. Kind of volatile, and I wonder what's going on in the world. Any news of Beck? What's happened to Glenn Beck? He's got some big story, supposedly, isn't he?
Well, you know,
are you following that now?
Yeah, of course. I mean, he came out and laid the Hansel and Gretel breadcrumbs for the masses. That, you know, seemed to lead to some kind of document/whistleblower who would bring down, you know, the teetering game that is being played out on its last legs.
All right, so he's going to wait until the day before that he knows the crash is going to happen, whip out his piece of paper and say it was his fault.
Oh, good. I didn't put that together, but that now makes sense. Apparently, he is a master of delayed gratification. Reminds me, again, I'll go back to the health industry, Anthony Almada, the guy who created creatine, he was a genius at delayed gratification and creating the demand before the supply was available, which only heightens the demand. Mm. Marketing 101. So, you know, maybe that's in our benefit as a collective if we master these delayed gratification marketing techniques in the truther community. Maybe we have to become more showmen to get more people, you know, to create the demand.
Yeah, to be a bit more James Brown about it.
Maybe we're doing it wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's about presentation. And, you know, the devil's got the best tunes. You know, they always say that. It's about, he's got the techniques. He's got the spirit of manipulation so down that you can make people feel good as well.
Well, and that's it. A lot of people are using that. There's that pattern, right?
Yeah.
To then look at what just recently transpired with Snowden and the whistleblower about PRISM. There's been a lot of critique that he came out far too organized and that he had this PDF all ready to go that he insisted the newspaper run and, you know, just the comments that he made about what he was giving up and what he was sacrificing and the execution, I guess people are saying they're scared of. But here's the thing. It is what it is. And it's gonna, no matter what, it's going to have an effect for the greater collective. If it was organized by good guys or bad guys, the fact that it's organized isn't a bad thing. It's the effect. Now the question is this really a story? And if it is, what part of it is really a story? I think we all really knew that we were being listened to and watched through social media. We all knew that to the extent maybe we didn't understand, but we all suspected. My thought right now is the story isn't so much about the confirmation of that. It's that there are these secret judicial processes that take place behind the scene and allow for, you know, a process such as almost like a warrant being issued to seize the data. So really the process is much more secretive, and I think that's the story more than anything.
I think this is a very interesting part, is that during all these processes, we're observing processes that we never knew were processes, if you say what I mean. We never knew these things existed, you know.
Which is so key, because if you go back to particle physics, that's the whole thing. It's the nature of the observer observing and their effect on what's being observed. And if these systems have been cloaked with such expertise, then the observer can never observe it, therefore can never affect change.
Yep. We are subtly limited by the nature of the game that we've been placed in. And it's, you know, the whole Truman thing, like the sky is painted on, but we don't go that far out in the sea to be able to prove that that's actually a painting rather than a real thing. So they've framed our reality. They've, you know, they put their limits on it and then sort of hastily painted it and hope that we won't notice the difference when we come up to the edge of it. But now what Bill's done is he's walked through the back door, you know, and he's talking to the guards. And there's this whole other world that is on the inside of this. I mean, how many breakaway civilizations are we dealing with here? I heard something about the other day about the vampire wars and the werewolf wars. I mean, what the heck's going on there?
Well, and that's so hard. It's like, you don't know. And this could get into discussions of vibratory frequency. I mean, we could be, I was watching a video interview with Ralph Ring, and he was talking about these spaceships that he built with Oda's car, and how at some point their vibratory pattern, their frequency, shifts in a way that basically they become invisible to our human eye, five senses, because it's outside of the realm of what our brains can register at this point.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, we don't see anything more than UV, the lowest energy of UV light and the highest energy of infrared light. It's a tiny little slit that we see. But we know that there are other things.
I heard something really interesting at the Super Soldier Summit. It actually is, you can see it in the interview that Carrie Cassidy did with James Caswell and Max Spears. Now, I'm
much more familiar with Max Spears than I am with James Casbolt on a personal level, and I really felt that, and this isn't necessarily criticism of Carrie, because Max kind of, I feel, cloaked himself in that interview. You can see in his body language, he's very, like, withdrawn and kind of sinking down into the couch.
like, I don't want to be here kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's disappearing. And so that's not necessarily Carrie's fault, but I really don't feel that interview did Max justice. It got a lot of interesting points out of Mr. Caswell, but I don't feel it did Max a lot of justice in who he's really being in this moment of now, which is amazing. One of the things he said, though, Carrie asks him about the vibration, or he made a statement about he remembers on a cellular memory level the fall of Earth's vibration down, lowering into a lower vibration. And she kind of took issue with that and questioned him, and he clarified in a way that I think kind of blew her away, because I don't think she had much time to get to know who Max is on a personal level. And he made a comment, basically the gist of it was that around Atlantean times, the vibrational frequency of that planet actually fell. And so therefore, things that existed at that time that were apparent to our frequency radar are no longer, because we're down some octaves, which was really, really interesting. And you can see that in that interview with James Casbolt, Max Spears, and Carrie Cassidy from the Super Soldier Summit. And I thought out of all of the information that Max gave, that was something like I would like to have seen developed a little bit more. But, you know what I would love is if you have any insight or question, JP, because you ask such good questions, because you can empathically weave into someone's life to ask good questions. If you have any questions, what I find right now that I'm struggling the most with is trying to verbalize what I'm learning currently in this adventure process that I'm in and in the current stage of it. So I don't know, before I go, do you have any questions specifically about Bill and I and what's been happening that could help me frame where to start? Because it's been a bit traumatic and a bit blurry, so for me it's hard to even figure out what to share when.
Oh yeah, I mean, imagine having your husband ripped away from you and then schlepped all over the country, and you got to follow him around and all this stuff. It's just, this is, I mean, it's madness. But it's an archetype, right? It's representing. Because there are, you know, and as Bill knows, and as you know, there are many, many men going through this particular process, and women. But it's, you know, it's, this is what's happening to our men. You know, they're being processed, made to conform and slept around and tried to control. But what is, you know, Bill's got an indomitable spirit because he's got the connection to his soul. And you hold the other half of that. So you know that. Eva? Oh, that's embarrassing. She's gone. Eva, are you with me? Well, well, well. There we go. So maybe that was an important thing that they then cut Eva's phone off, because that was a very interesting insight that he's connected with. Yes, there we go. They're going to try and get the call back while Eva is there and see what happens. And I'm going to try and call Eva back and see if she can come in there. And And I think maybe her battery's run out. That would be one thing. She's using phone on the Skype. So, we might have lost that. Oh dear. Lost you there. Yeah. So where are we? We're at 5:30. And, I thought we normally have at the half hour mark, and I was expecting that because I wanted to get a drop more tea. I've still got a drain of some rather cold tea there in the bottom of the cup. There's no place like home, it says. Well. Let's now have a look at what's going on in the... Yes. Feels like being processed or a meat grinder. Ah, there. Whoops, no. So I'll just bring Eva back in now. It rings. It rings. I wonder what is happening.
Hi.
You're back.
Sorry, my computer froze and I couldn't it was like doing the constant spiral spin. And I couldn't unmute my thing, so I had to restart my computer.
All right. Okay. Well, welcome back. Did you get that last bit?
Yes, I did. Well, you asked... I think you made a statement, but I didn't hear the question.
All right. Well, basically, because that's where I was going with it. But basically, what I was getting to was that Bill is retaining his will. He's retaining his will because of a connection to his soul, and his soul is connected... to your soul, and that's what keeps it alive and keeps his connection going, you know. I find it's an interesting archetype because it's like the, you know, the Hopi village that, you know, when the Hopi village is finally, if the Hopi village is fine, the world is fine. You know, when the Hopi village is destroyed, then the world gets destroyed. You know, what happens in the microcosm of your life is something that's going on in the macrocosm of the world, and you know that, and you're working it.
Totally. And I think a lot of people don't understand what I'm fighting for, and they see, or not fighting for, I mean, what I continue to choose for, and what I feel I have to work through is so many different levels. There's the level of roadblocks that appear on the physical level, and then there's the emotional waves that are attached to those physical roadblocks, and then there's the reaction or response to my choice point from those around me that may or may not intuitively or cognitively understand my rationale or my choice point. So there's a lot of levels of stuff to work through and discern through. And, you know, but a lot of people don't understand about me or even the situation is that in the bigger picture, our men have been corrupted on a grand scale.
Absolutely.
They've been hijacked and corrupted. What it means to be a man is changing both in the micro and the macro right now because they have been hijacked for so long into being brainwashed to think that being a man is one thing. I do believe that there was a time where, you know, hunting and gathering, which included, you know, the death of animals or other tribes, may have been more honorable and done so with honor and consciousness, but that's been, you know, computer programmed, gamed out of our boys, our men, into thinking, you know, drone attacks on a screen in Las Vegas is just, you know, a day's work, and 300 people die each time you press that button, including women, children, and kids, communities, and, you know, but we got 10 bad guys, supposedly. Well, who are these bad guys? Well, then you have to look at the fact that the military-industrial complex is really being governed by a satanic principle that is feeding sacrifice to an energetic frequency being that we may not see on a third dimensional level. You know, we
but
may
is,
not understand.
But that is energetically vampiric.
Yeah, and we don't understand the covenant or the agreement that was made by certain humans with this entity that now demands mass murder, mass sacrifice. And so we get, you know, the stories sold to us via the United States, which if you look up on Dun & Bradstreet, is registered as a company for marketing purposes. It's really quite interesting how this all ties together and what I've learned in this year. About the private side of the systems versus the public side of what we're sold is going on. And they're completely different. And the private side is most definitely, like we were saying earlier, cloaked by, I would say, some almost wizardry, like black magic cloaking, that when people get close to it, through the beauty of the school system, we've been conditioned to think that if we can't make sense of a system, we're stupid. But what's really going on is our internal guidance system can't anchor to any truth. So we can't get any footing to get ahead and make sense of this system. Like, let's use the judicial system. You know, we are conditioned into thinking we need lawyers because when we try to go in and do it by ourselves, we get made to feel like we're stupid. You know?
And absolutely.
Yeah. The truth is that what we are being actually presented in the court jester system is a play, an act, a fiction. And that's why we can't make sense of it. But we've been conditioned to think that feeling when our brains go, I don't understand this. We've been conditioned to make that mean it's because we're dumb, we're stupid, we just can't figure it out. When in fact, that's our internal guidance system saying, please do not spend any more energy here. There is no truth.
Absolutely right. And
yeah,
people, I tell you what happens, and you know, I can feel it happening in my own brain, is that when you do tune into that, you tune out of reality and you tune into another reality. It's like it's everything's upside down because the truth is upside down from what we've been taught. You know, even electricity, even you're aware that you know, positive and negative mean the opposite thing. The positive actually means a hole and a gap, and a negative is a thing that moves, an electron. So even down at those fundamental levels, our education has taught us that things are upside down from what they are. At that fundamental level of how we how we're taught electricity. So how can we expect to understand and to get to the level that, like, Will is?
Can affect change or actually get grip, traction, to make a difference in this world when the systems themselves have a completely different function on the private side, or, you know, take out the word private and put secret. And, you know.
Can I have a breakaway? can I have a breakaway civilization?
Well, and the thing is, so how does that relate to our men?
Mm.
Right? And so if the whole system is conducive on feeding an energetic interdimensional being with massive death, and the military industrial complex looks at, you know, humans or our soldiers as a bullet or a tank of gas, as in how much gas will it take for us to get from A to B? How many people do we have to go through to get from A to B? You know, and what happens when the world becomes educated enough to know that there's no real excuse for that gas count total? Well, when we get to that point, now what do? When the world becomes educated enough, because this is it. For years and years and years, there were a small group of people that were privy to global consciousness. And they were tasked with, you know, the responsibility of tending to the human herd. Mm. And the human herd want three things for the most part, or we've been conditioned into being satisfied with three things, which is food, shelter, entertainment, and sex. Mm-hmm. And that's why, and Max Spear says this really well, he says that's why all the TV commercials are all about that, because it anchors us in a third dimension, and it keeps us at a lower dimension, because service to others is really what will be the leverage to get us back up. And so if we're constantly inundated with visual representation of those three primal, you know, food, shelter, entertainment, and sex, that keeps us back in the third dimension, low vibration. And, you know, it's a joke. This planet is needing a liberation. There's a group of us, more than I know, that have embodied on this planet to liberate this planet. And the crappy part is that we embody without a user manual. And we bump around going, what are we doing?
There is no F1 key. Well, maybe there is. And maybe that's what meditation is. Is, you know, that we access the help system. The inner teacher, the inner tuition. You know, all we need to do, and, you know, actually that's an interesting thing. You know, if we were a robot. Okay, so here's another way of thinking about it is, rather than worry about, you know, trying to prove anything to anybody, you know, and just assume that, okay, this is a program, and programs obey certain rules, and you can, you can write your code, you can rewrite the code. If something behaves in a particular way, you can rewrite the code to make it behave in another way. That's the idea. Choice points. That's what it's all about, because computer programs are all about choices. What is the value of this variable? You know, what if the variable is true or false? You know, first of all, what kind of variable this is. Also, is it true or is it false? That's a very fundamental thing. You know, is it positive? Is it negative? Is it plus? Is it minus? Is it straight? Is it circle? You know, is it male? Is it female? There's all this. We're in the world of duality in the fourth dimension, where on an emotional level, that this is the problem. From what I see, is that there's too much emotional expression going on for anybody to feel really what's going on, and to actually use their senses.
Very, very.
Everybody, and here, you know, this is back to, you know, where's my F1 key? You know, the F1 key, I don't know if you're aware, but you probably are.
Root, Matthew?
F1 is the key just next to the escape key, and on the keyboard, and it's the help system.
Like root menu?
Sort of, but it's like if you press F1 at any time in Windows or in Unix, it'll bring up the help system. It's a kind of, it's a convention. There are many conventions in computing. Yeah. And so there must be a convention in our body to find the help system. And I believe, as I'm sitting here talking, I'm thinking, well, that's exactly what intuition is. That's exactly what we have our own manual, and we also have a driver, and that driver is called the soul. You know, we're a vehicle, and that driver is called the soul, and or the indwelling soul, or the indwelling spark. And that brings me to my latest project, which is the radiant energy battery recharging unit that I've been playing with the last couple of weeks.
Okay, so here's my question for you, because I love the way you're being able to scan the topology of that and put it into a metaphor. So my question to you is, if the majority of men in the military-industrial complex are, you know, especially in the United States, the majority of men in the United States grow up and serve in the military. Okay, so if the system code inherent had traps that would ensure choice points, if the system code had a mechanism that would ensure at a certain choice point a certain direction is always made, then for some operator to figure out how to get around, like you're talking about the back door, to get around the inherent code that insisted choice point went in a certain direction, then that in itself is a breakthrough. And the fact that somebody could figure out how to get around that inherent coded source point, choice point, which is what I do believe Bill did, is he found a way to supersede around the inherent coded system that had all these traps to ensure choice point went this way. And he still repeatedly made the choice point of the opposite of what was to the algorithm would predict. Now, you see the same pattern happening in the financial and the stock market. You see all of these financiers who are, you know, elite mathematicians and elite algorithm programmers, and they surround themselves with like-minded. And what they do is they can then, through algorithm, prove or disprove their capacity to withstand any you know, unforeseen thing. They think and rationalize through life, through algorithm, to ensure the banking system will, you know, work the way they want it to, or predict through risk the way they want it to. That's the same thing as a source code of prediction. But what they forget is Mother Nature. And Mother Nature is ultimately the one who guides this whole realm. And if she can pull out, you know, pieces and reprogram them to get around those source codes that would ensure choice point went in a certain direction, then that is so key that we get behind Mother Nature pulling out those pieces and reprogramming them, because that's her mechanism for, you know, restoring balance.
Here's the thing. All right, and this is where everything ties together. The choice points are loaded. All right.
So absolutely.
Say your program requires, in order to make a particular choice, you need to have 50% confidence that, you know, that you're on the right track. And by loading it, it makes you much more likely to do it. So, for instance, you know, your data might be filled with events that will create that loading. So I'm just going to wrap it back to a reality, which is we have choice points, and our choice points are affected by the amount of fear that is running through our body. The way we choose something depends on how much fear or how much love we have in our body. Right. And if you can have love in your body, then you can make non-programmed choices. That's how it works.
Love is the spark. Kamikaze to some, because the love program overrides the rationale of what most would choose. So at times it seems kamikaze, because the love quotient is so great that you can remap out of the predictability.
Right, so that makes you not scared of things that you would normally be scared of.
Right.
And I mean, in a way, it's like it takes out the dramatic music. It's just like, yeah. Instead of walking across the room and there's all this dramatic music, you just walk across the room. And it's a normal thing. And you know, it's just...
Like, what would happen in a movie if you see, like, a guy with a machete and a big mask on, and he's hiding behind a door, and he jumps out, and then the music doesn't go, da, 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 you
That's
know,
right.
and the other guy, and the other guy just keeps walking with no response. That'd be so great. Well, and see, this is what I'm saying. The fact that, you know, I mean, let's be honest, Bill knew what kind of repercussions. I mean, it's not like he didn't know what they were going to hit him with if he tried to come out. What he made more important was the truth. Because in effect, it's much like David Icke scenario where, you know, here you have David Icke on, you know, national TV coming out and saying, I think I'm the son of God. Well, maybe he got a little bit wrong there, but maybe he didn't. Maybe the context was just a little bit off in that he was getting the download ahead of the curve and he had no reference point other than to say, I'm the son of God, you know, to reference what he was experiencing in his upgrade. Well, everybody laughed at him and he lost a lot of things in that process, including potentially his relationships with those most closest to him. So, here's a person who loses everything, and that seems like a really scary thing. But what it did for David Icke is it freed him. He no longer cared what people thought of him. He no longer was governed, much like somebody with Asperger's or autism, by social conditioning, by social trigger, by social, cue. He was no longer inundated with that program. He was free of that codex, so he could now make choice points based on inner intuition only, what he felt was right for him in every moment. A lot of people did not understand that. A lot of people laughed at him.
I love David Icke. I met him a few years ago. My last housemate was an old friend of his in the Green Party. I think he's a damn good fellow. To be honest, and
and that's the thing with Bill is they took everything from him. They slapped him with these labels. They twisted the truth. You know, they paid off people closest to him, and they intimidated people closest to him. You better believe that his family that may have been on the fence about whether or not they should support him or not, or tell the truth or not, were intimidated into telling the truth the way they wanted it to be told. So, you know, let's not underestimate the damage that this has done not only to Bill, but to holding people in perpetual victimhood that is false, that was a lie, and how that then sends repercussions for the next generation of family coming up because everything's held in the cellular memory. So there's a lot of things that Bill is overcoming here and fighting for or holding space for. And he lost everything a long time ago. Mm. And so he doesn't really care. He doesn't care what people think. He's not out to prove and to divulge all the details to his story because it doesn't matter. People will either feel and resonate with the truth of what he's saying or they won't. And there's nothing that he can do to prove anything to anyone. So he's not about that. And the crappy thing is that, you know, in this last scenario, this court scenario, they did leverage his original programming, which is the Patriot. And they really used that against him. In that he really believes in the Constitution and the judicial process. And there was nothing more he wanted than his day of court with a, you know, jury of his peers. But a jury of peers is different than, they do a trick to the words. Anyways, there's the music. We'll be right back.
Break time. Thank you very much, Eva. We'll be back after the break. Don't go away. This is Studio B, Revolution Radio, Warp Spirit Radio. So, welcome back to Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com and Wolf Spirit Radio at wolfspiritradio.com/wolfchat and on No Borders Radio at noBordersRadio.co.uk. And here I have, on this particular program, on the day of the 16th, 17th, I never know the date. What the heck's the date? Oh, the 17th of June. There we go. June the 17th. Wow. is whacking by. It's nearly the 21st. Eva Moore, I believe, is my guest on the other end of the line. Are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So, yeah.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So, where were we?
Well, I think what I was trying to explain is, you know, on so many levels, it looks like I'm just a girl who's chasing a guy and, you know, blinded by love, which, okay, sure, in one reality that might be truth. But for me, it goes a lot deeper. And for me, it's a fractal reality I'm after. And what Bill embodied is the anomaly. Because in our military industrial complex, I mean, we have all this information thanks to wonderful heroes like themselves coming forward, talking about, you know, the hidden system, the secret system of the entertainment industry and the political system, and how the two overlap, the judicial political system, how it overlaps with the entertainment industry in these secret ways, through pedophile nature. And what I'm trying to explain to people is that the military industrial complex, so many good men register to, based on their patriot programming, serve God and country. And this gets co-opted because at some point the military industrial complex understands that the truth will be seen. It's only a matter of time. So at the very get-go, they go to work creating choice points that are traps. So the fact that you've even made it into the military means that you're about to be handed choice, crappy choice A, crappy choice B, or crappy choice C, and they're all booby-trapped. And because of your patriot programming, you choose one when you don't know that how else to not choose. So you choose one, and hopefully it's the lesser of evils. That statement seems to be, you know, the very foundation of a lot of the problems in society. It's the idea that our choice points have to be the lesser of evils. But see, then this gets leveraged. And when you have somebody like Bill who comes forward, where, let's say we don't know what exactly his security clearance was. Let's say his program that he was involved in, we don't really know what it was. Let's say the closest thing that we could put it on is a SEAL Team 9 that had alternative training, some basics of the majority of SEALs, but some specialized skill sets that weren't necessarily honed in on the other SEAL teams. Okay, great. So here's a man who's got this special security clearance and no way to prove it, because the minute he tries to prove it, he's violating national security and can find himself in Guantanamo or some other secret prison through some secret judicial process that happened very much like the PRISM ruling that gave permission through secret judicial process. Right? These things happen. There are secret prisons and there are secret judicial processes that govern and control the results of our lives. And so Bill is aware of this. The fact that he came forward as an anomaly when, yeah, he's human. Yeah, he's made some really crappy, stupid mistakes. The thing is, he paid for those mistakes, and he still put his head on the chopping block to come forward with more truth, just like he did 14 years ago when he diverted that missile. So, you know, that was back when there wasn't any social media. He's ahead of the curve, and this is what I see in him, is he's ahead of the curve. And why it was important for me to jump behind him, much like the Navy turned chocks in. When a plane lands on a carrier ship, they put chocks in so the plane can't roll backwards. Well, that was my job. My job was chocks in. He made it to a choice point that nobody had made yet. And I came to bear witness to say this is now done. And I choose to repeatedly act like chocks in behind him as he makes his way through choice point and choice point. So what I see happening is an uphill battle that he, in effect, is holding multiple streams of consciousness of these secret systems, and he's pushed them through the cloaking veil for the rest of humanity that's so busy to look, and he's holding it outside of the cloak so that through the nature of physics, the observer can go to work observing on these secret systems that have been cloaked so that we can change them. And the minute he broke through that veil and brought these things to the surface, past the veil for us to observe, was the minute that change happened and the success happened. I just wanted to ensure that there was no going backwards. So change is already happening, and this is what I see. I see him holding strands of consciousness in the military-industrial complex, the black projects, you know, the systematic ritualistic abuse, sexual perversions, and their leverage for security clearance in the military-industrial complex. I see mass genocide and killing. He's holding that up. He's holding up the fact that men themselves can be victims of sexual abuse, and if they don't get help, they can act out on a subconscious level in ways that they may not have if they would have gotten help. And now he's bringing the judicial system and the prison system through the veil. He's just taking it and collecting these systems and pushing them forward. And it's amazing, because who would want to do that in their right mind? Who would want to keep going? You know, 14 years ago he diverted a missile and he got slapped pretty hard on the wrist. You'd think that was enough to shut him up and stop him. The fact that his heart is strong enough to keep going to bring these truths out, that's huge. When he knew he was going to get crucified, he knew that things would get twisted and, you know, but he's lost everything. There's nothing left except for the truth, the best that he can recall. And, you know, they screwed with him, too. So, you know, there are fractures in what he can remember. And he works really hard to try and bring it all to the surface in an eloquent, graceful way. And considering what he's gone through, I think he's done a phenomenal job. And I really admire him on just a soul level, that he's managed to, you know, harness these systems long enough to pull them forward for the observer to observe and therefore go to work affecting change. Because as long as they're hidden, which is the thing, like look at Chris Kyle, Pat Tillman, all these Navy SEALs that died, these two FBIs that, you know, were magically trained, dying. What the hell was the FBI doing jumping out of a helicopter into the ocean that they died, or whatever, on a rope? You know, the two Navy SEALs that one died and another was injured in the Arizona parachute training incident. It's like, what is going on? Well, you know what's going on? Is these men have been blackmailed into shutting up for so long through their mistakes, through rigged choice points. And when you have somebody like Bill break through that matrix and find the back door to open up these floodgates and crack that crack in the dam, you know, it's only a matter of time, because the observer is observing and they're affecting change, and we are affecting change. And so this is who I be in this moment. This is what I stand for. This is what continues to allow me, you know, to, you know, carry forward why I'm here. I don't know if that ever comes out. I don't know if people see that or not, but that's who I am being.
Well, you know, that's something that I've seen. You know, when I first saw Bill, I thought, this guy is significant. I have a nose for it, for, you know, the direction. And I saw his first interview with Kerry, and that was really interesting. Then everything else from that point onwards started accreting, you know, accusations and defense and looking at me, you know, but the first part of what he was saying, the first interviews, before people started attacking him and had to defend himself, though that information is precious. And, you know, we need to thank Bill for that. You know, all of us. And I recognize what is going on. I see the process that is happening. And, you know, that's why I have so much space for you, Eva. So much space that you can... Are you still there?
Yeah, no, thank you. That means a lot to me because there's been multiple situations arise where I couldn't find my way out of it in a conscious linear particle approach. I had to go just into my heart and it never made sense.
Become the wave.
And so, you know, it didn't make sense for me, which was equally more challenging than just the observer watching me trying to make sense of my choices. But, you know, we had, Bill and I had a really interesting conversation not too long ago about this. And the fact that when you choose, when you start making the unpredicted choices, when you start to have the capacity to choose outside of the easy, when you choose the hard choice point, you get more menu, your menus of options go up. It's like you start to become unpredictable in infinite option. As you make the hard choice the right choice, or the right choice, even if it is the hard choice, your menu of options increases exponentially. And you become unpredictable. And so your algorithm is not necessarily trackable. So you start to become a law of universe of nature all in of yourself because you're choosing for service to others. And it breaks the old paradigm down. So it's pretty cool. Like, if more and more people had the opportunity to break out of the conditioning of service to self, I can give you on two hands multiple people in my group who have way jumped out of their comfort zone and been in service to others out of, you know, no cognitive understanding for anyone close to them, I'm sure. It wouldn't have been a cognitive, rational, particle, linear thought process that people close to them would understand. But this is happening. There are people coming out of the woodwork to now be my choxin behind me to say, nope, you're not going back. You've come and you've made it this far, and you keep going. You know, you're doing good work, which is outside of the template of 9-to-5 pay scale. And so when you say that to me, it means a lot, JP, so thank you.
Bless your heart. But it really is, there is something playing out here. There is a rose unfolding, a bud. You excuse the bad pun there. But there is a bud unfolding with something that we've never seen before. Because it's up to us to make it up. You know, but it's easy, really. I mean, in a way, it's not, well, let's say easy. It's straightforward. If you use your eyes, rather than listen to fears, then everything is straightforward. But a lot of the time, people don't see with their eyes. They just imagine with their eyes and imagine with their brain. That's the fear zone, isn't it?
Well, and then that becomes the question, which eyes are you using? Your 3D eyes or your real eyes? And so our 3D eyes on our face are covered with gross grain and fine grain holographic screens. And they filter what we can and can't see. So, we have to upgrade the software to be able to see with our 3D eyes anything.
Right. Hey, Eva, I don't know if I've had this conversation with you, but it was about April time, and I had this meditation one day, and it turned into a bit of a journey, and I heard very strongly in my voice, more strongly than normal, is that I am your requested upgrade.
That's cool.
And I thought, hello? And it was like, oh yeah, the new software's arrived and it's installing itself. Is it just interesting that you're using these terms, and that's exactly what it is and exactly what is happening. It's like, you know, Skype. If you use Skype all the time, people, you'll recognize that, you know, Skype has just had a new update. Wait a minute while we change it, and poof, there it is, and it's got, there's a new button here and there. You know, so here we are, we're at the new version of humanity, because this is what the galactic pulse is bringing us. It's bringing us the next step of evolution. And, we're all evolving in these, amazing ways, and we evolve from the inside outwards, so it takes a while for it to kind of, travel from the inside to the out. And that's what I call expression. So I find it fascinating that what's going on at the moment. And your story, your scenario that is playing out is a metaphor for many things, and as you're aware of. So, yes, I see exactly where you're at. And I think a lot of our listeners do, and give you great support.
Well, and I think, I'll be honest with you, if I was just in love with Bill and just in service to our relationship, I don't think I would have been able to get through this year, because there was no relationship. We were completely cut off from each other. We barely had communication. We didn't have any physical interaction. We weren't able to physically really even see each other. So, I mean, with the amount of stress on top of it, with a new relationship completely outside the realms of cognitive particle linear thought process, by all intents and purposes, it shouldn't have worked. So I hope to inspire. I hope that people can see now more of the guiding principles, and like, it's been interesting because, you know, it's such a teeter-totter bouncing act of walking a razor's edge, like that movie that Bill Murray was in, where, you know, trying to control things and make them happen in a certain way, you strangle the flow. And yet, you know, the laws of nature and the universal law responds to action. And I think that we're kind of all in that boat right now, where it's like we're teeter-tottering on this razor's edge of between taking action and letting go. And that seems to be the choice point of duality of this present moment of now. It's like, can we collapse that into one? What does that look like? Right? Because on some levels, Mother Nature is going to take things into her own hands if we can't make some choice points that affect change. And we may or may not like that so much, right?
Well, you know, sometimes we're forced, you know, it's like your body gives you certain cues that something's wrong. You know, first of all, it's a tickle. Then it's a cough. Then it's, you know, a flu. And, you know, it goes on and on and on, trying to tell you the same story. And the story is, you know, there's something wrong with what's coming in and going out. There's a restriction in the allowance of flow, for instance, you know. And, you know, so we get a stronger and stronger cue the further we go down the road of the wrong way of doing it.
Yeah, well, see, and then the next choice is, do we see certain things when they manifest as signs, or are we hitting the event horizon? By that I mean, are we at the edge of the paradigm of old system? And when we bump up to that event horizon of the old system, it's a bump. Oh, there's the boundary line right there. Okay, we haven't come this far yet. New choice point. And so then you're presented with, you know, collapse, go backwards, or bump and choose to shift that field somehow through inner work that changes the choice point of A or B that are both traps.
That's right. You know? To choose C, which is the new and spontaneous and entirely appropriate and actually quite joyful choice.
Yeah. That you can co-create.
Yeah, because it always comes from the heart. It's always, and it comes back to the whole thing, love versus fear. Fear means you're programmable. Fear means you're predictable.
Same with victims. So I would also use the victim mindset as fear.
Okay.
So if you can get triggered into feeling like a victim, they got you.
Yep. And
your power is gone.
Yeah, because like I say, you know, this is all about love. Love is the spark. You know, they're always talking about love. Love is a spark. It's the inspiring. You know, inspire means to breathe in. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you breathe in and then suddenly you get an idea. I wonder where that came from. Anyway, the spark.
Yeah.
Huh?
I was just going to say, I have to run, to visit with Bill now.
Oh, fantastic. Listen, send him all our love.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, thank you for having me. It means a lot. And I also, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting. It's an honor to be on your show and to share and to hear your feedback. I really enjoy your processing and the fact that you were in nature. Nondebrot t-shirt on means so much. It's the little things, Billy, that mean the most.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you so much for coming on, Eva.
Well, thank you for having me.
Eva Moore is on Sunday night at just about, in about half an hour's time, Sunday night ago. Or even next Sunday. Evolution, bless your heart. Send Bill our love, and we'll catch you soon. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
So, thanks, Eva. Bye now. So, that was Eva Moore. Now, I normally have a little kind of tune-y at this time of night. The half hour, because my throat is starting to scratch. Maybe I've got issues. Hang on a second. A cup of tea in my mug that was given to me by my friends. There's no place like home, it says. It's a red mug. Lovely, just the perfect size for a nice mug of tea. This is what we drink in England and Britain and Scotland and Ireland, is tea. And I drink tea constantly. Right, so, where are we? Here we are. We're in Yeah, so I'm just trying to process the conversation that I've just had, and if anybody would like to call in and actually discuss some of the points that I and Eva were bringing up and bringing through, I found it's always delightful to work with somebody who's a creator, you know, the makes things happen. Marvelous. So if anybody would like to call in, that'd be brilliant. Or even I can give a Ray readings or anything like that. So I'm just trying to roll back and see if I can find some of the points that it's been an overwhelming ride. In the last couple of years. I mean, I remember last year, this time, we were just watching all these videos with Bill Brockrader or Bill Wood, and it was all very mysterious and he had something to talk about. It might be very, very, enlightening to revisit some of those early interviews. This is the ones before, people started talking about seals and all of this business, but actually talk about the projects. What was it called? Yellow Book documents that Bill was talking about. That's the time chronovisor experiment results, and they had the two timelines. So whatever happened to those two timelines? Well, here we are. We do seem to be on a timeline where things are going right instead of all going wrong. Things are starting to change in our world. Look at what's happened with the Pope and the royalty and the paedophile scandals and all of those things. You know, as far as their world is concerned, yeah, it was the end of the world. You know, that's, I believe, what it was really about. The apocalypse is not the great disaster. It's the uncovering. So, yeah, if there has been an uncovering, that's what it was. It's like this is the nature of the society, of the, now, how was I putting it? This is the nature of the scenario that we're put into before we're born. This is how all the people around us are programmed. But somehow the programming in some people doesn't take. I wonder why. Could it be that these people have a heart center? Could it be that these people feel and don't just emote? Could it be that these people have a higher consciousness and a working heart center? I would think so. So we have a macrocosm, microcosm situation. You know, what is happening to Bill is happening to us on a metaphoric level. And also, as Eva says, he's ahead of the game. He's ahead of the curve. So what happens to Bill happens to the rest of us. I have certainly felt part of the ahead of the curve team, because what has happened to me has happened to other things later on. You know, when you talk about you know, having everything stripped away from you, that's pretty much what I've been through over the last 10 years. Is all that in slow motion, quite livable. But I think it's going to be a lot more intense for people. And it's, again, going back to what I was saying just a while ago about your body gives you certain warnings. Your body gives you warnings that some things are amiss. And it starts off as a little tickle in your throat, and then it starts off a little and then gets worse and worse and worse, ends up as a throat cancer. And that's what your body has been saying to you all along, but you just haven't been listening. So I believe that there's little signs that happen in all of our lives. You know, just take it a little bit easier here, a little bit, because the points where you hurt yourself, those are the times when you're being unskillful. When you haven't mastered your world. And it's not like you... Well, I mean, things are getting more serious. I'd say it's like I was... there was an incident today outside my house, and a little dog was killed. And the circumstances around it are very, very interesting. Because the dog was, you know, it was a year old, but it was a really, a very difficult dog to live with. It was allergic to every kind of human food that, so you had, you know, you couldn't just eat scraps and leftovers. It had to be, and it would just bark all the time, you know. He was one of two brothers, two litter mates, and, very soon after his brother was born, he ran under a car and died. And that's exactly what happened to him today. He ran under a car, died. Maybe it was the same day. Maybe it's one of these days. That was June the 17th, not a lucky day for that dog. And it was, it's a very odd scene, as everybody's got all these mixed emotions about it, you know. The woman who ran the dog over is an animal lover and just came in absolutely distraught. The wife, you know, and the family who had the dog, you know, the dog jumped out, ran out of a gate that was left open, you know, there's going to be blame and recrimination and all this stuff. So anyway, so there's these dramas unfolding all around me, and I'm just sitting around, I'm just digging around and digging soil and digging roots out of soil. My own drama involves inch thick roots that are somehow going right across my vegetable garden at a depth of about a foot. And so you have to dig down and these big gnarly roots that don't look at all useful. I perhaps ought to roast them and make some tea out of them and see what happens. Anyway, yes. Warning, danger, Will Robinson. Sometimes intuition is subtle, very subtle. Oh, I see. You're talking about the robot. Yes. So, where was I going with that? Talking about important things. Macrocosms and microcosms. Garden. Yeah, so, yeah, all this drama unfolding while I'm just doing, just digging the garden and getting on with, planting potatoes and everything like that. So everybody's seems to be having a big drama today. And I'm wondering about, Glenn Beck and his big drama. I mean, he's such a queen, God's sake. But, you know, has he got anything? Anybody in the chat room, has Glenn Beck actually got anything whatsoever? You know, is it something that we all know about, you know, that we could have told him? Or has he got something that we don't know yet? Who's to say? Well, we'll see. But, like I say, I think it might be a matter of, you know, he's waiting for the day when he knows the collapse is going to happen. Then he's going to whip out his piece of paper and then lay claim to the collapse, saying that it was his piece of paper that made it all happen. And Glenn Beck goes down in mainstream media history as the one who called the day. Anyway, that's what it's all about. Who's the one doing the calling? Do call in 657-5973-775-657-5973. That's our number if you want to call in to this very show here. AFK means away from keyboard, which means be right back. I think I'd like that on my gravestone because I believe in reincarnation. So if anybody's listening who has an influence, on my gravestone, if I ever get one, BRB. That's it. BBIB. Back in a bit. So yes, digging me garden. I've now cleared another row of roots and ground elder and all sorts of, nasty things and bits of metalwork and, springs and forks and all sorts of stuff that is inside the in the ground. It's an old garden and it's not been tended for quite a long time. It's got this massive root system under the ground, and that's my I suppose in a way, you know, that's my metaphor for digging up bits of the Illuminati. And today I think I found the sort of epicenter of all this root system, or at least there is a kind of node and nodule there. Where they all seem to be joining and emanating from. I don't know what it is. I'll let you know. Maybe it's just the thing that has roots. Maybe it's just the root. That's it. That's the plant. It's the root. But it really gets in the way. And is a you know, you're trying to dig and you have a spade catches on something all the time. Anyway, enough of my problems. My vegetable garden, I've been trying to grow seeds. I'm totally useless at seeds. I've managed to fry several sets of seeds. The only seeds I can grow, it seems successfully, are mung bean seeds. And they are growing away nicely. I'm getting on a nice cycle, and so I have bean sprouts. I've got jars of the things in my fridge, and now I've got plenty of bread and mayonnaise, so that's going to be my staple diet for the next few days, is bean sprouts and mayonnaise sandwiches. It is absolutely gorgeous. So, well, where are we? So we were about 20 minutes out from the end of the program, and I did have Eva Moore. Yes. Yeah, all right, I'm just getting some feedback from our friend here. I'm not sure if Glenn has anything real. He's good at hype, as I found out earlier. Yeah, I mean, it's about hype. It's about hype, not hope. He's, let's just ask him. Would you like to yeah, actually, it would be interesting to speak to this lady. 20 minutes. Okay, so I'm going to bring in now Cindy Evans, who is now co-host to a Sunday show that I was producing the other day, talking about all sorts of interesting things. And I actually wanted to have a little chat with you, Cindy. So welcome to Journeys with JP, and hello, Cindy Evans. Uh-huh. Bloop, bloop. Cindy, are you there? Are you muted? Can't hear you yet. Bloop, bloop. Ah, Cindy. Maybe she's not there. Yeah. Oh, it's one of those moments, one of those internet radio show. Yes, where's my F1 key? F1 key has been translated to EFFWONKY, F1 key. Actually, it's what happens when your system goes wrong. Press the F1 key. Cindy, I can sort of hear something. I'm just wondering if you've got the... Yeah. Can you hear me? Maybe you can hear me. Maybe your mic... All right. Oh, well, you can call him if you like. Call him on the phone. And it's 775-657-5973. So I'm trying to get Cindy Evans on the show, just to have a quick update and talk about Cindy's project, which is what she's called Leaving Walmart, seeing if she can live without Walmart for the rest of her known days. That would be a fine thing. Mind you, I must open the door because it's really hot in here. It's very misty outside. It's misty Scotland. A beautiful misty morning here in northern Scotland, and that's cooling down a little bit. Ah, very good. So, yeah. So, what's Glenn Beck on about? Anybody got any ideas? Apart from the fact that it's an empty, meaningless hype to bring him publicity, but. He is invoking the Book of Mormon, And, right, so Cindy's ringing, and I can't see it. Over there. Well, maybe Dave's got it. Okay, so that didn't work. Yes, I can't find the Revolution Radio chat room. Well, looks like we'll have to have another day with Cindy. I would love to speak to her. But maybe another day. So we're 15 minutes out. I'm just wondering where we could go from here. So yes, F1, where's my F1 key? So yeah, what is the F1 key? In my humble, or how do I access the help system for my human skin suit? There's got to be a button somewhere. There's got to be some kind of trigger that will give me a instruction manual that will, you know, help me operate this being, this thing, this organic robot, and who's I, you know, in all this. But anyway, back to the idea that there's some kind of help system, and I believe that that's how we, you know, that's why we need to meditate. But the first thing is, you know, if you were a robot and you needed to reprogram yourself, you would need to put yourself in a quiescent space. And in order to, well, for instance, you know, anybody who's ever reinstalled Windows from an emergency disk, backup disk, or actually, you know, installed an operating system themselves on a computer, these things take time, and during that time, the computer is no good. It's useless. It's, you know, it's just a doorstop. And so it would be wise if you could find a point of positioning yourself so that you can be, away from the keyboard, as it were, in your body. And I believe that that's what, meditation is a point of being able to, switch off the software, reboot, and start again, or to install upgrades. Anybody who remembers Windows XP, when it did its upgrades, it was when you switched it on again, not when you switched it off. No? Say that again. No, it was when you switched it off, in the time that it, between you giving the command and it actually physically switching itself off would be sometimes 15, 20 minutes because it would be installing its upgrades. So it's only when the computer's not used that you can install an upgrade. So therefore, if you can put your body into a place where it's not being used, i.e. meditating, then you have the possibility of, you know, unplugging some of the software and plugging some new stuff in and, receiving the requested upgrade. And I believe that the requested upgrade has come from the Galactic Center, because this is what we were expecting. This is what, all last year I was speaking with Tracy Kennedy about this thing that I called the wave. It's also been called the ribbon or the filament. But it's this area of light that, has been rippling out from the galactic center for the last, God knows, 26,000 years. Yes, we're 26,000 years. We're 26,000 light years from the center of the galaxy. That should tell us something. Given also that the Earth makes ionic and electrical contact with the sun every 8 minutes, and that we're about 8 light minutes from the sun, if you extrapolate one from the other, you can see that there's some kind of cycle in that. That it's like, that's like the cycle of the solar system. This is the sun's connection with the central galaxy. So we have these 26,000 year cycles now. 26,000 years, that's a very familiar sounding cycle. There's lots of 26s and 52s in these big cycles as well. The cycle of the spontaneous evolution of creatures in rock samples that go back hundreds of millions of years seems that there's a spontaneous evolution that happens every 52 million years or so. There are 52,000 year cycles, 26,000 year cycles, and we're told that there was a cycle that was at its opposite peak 13,000 years ago. That would be the other side of the 26,000 year cycle. So here we are, we're on the opposite side of the cycle when Atlantis was destroyed, or there was a big to-do that went on in Atlantis, maybe not completely destroyed at that time, maybe it lasted a little longer. But there is a cyclicity to us all. Cycles. Frequencies. I wonder what ray that is. Might be interesting to do some calculations on that. 52, 26, 13, 7 and a half, 3 and 3 quarters. Those are not very familiar. But, 13 is a prime. 13 is a Fibonacci number. 13 is an Illuminati number, according to Gary the Numbers Guy. How very interesting all this is. We were talking about Illuminati cards last night with Muggsy, and how we can make self-illumination cards. Oh, good tea. So, we've been discussing the holographic nature of the universe and the holographic nature of Bill and Eva's universe and how it's mirroring other processes that are going on. And really, this is the time of the end of their world, the end of the powers that be, the now officially the powers that were. They amassed themselves over the last period of time. They embedded themselves in the energy of the sixth ray. And now anybody who had anything to do with them has to play out the sixth ray energy. And it's pretty tricky because normally when sixth ray energy plays out, it normally ends in blood. I mean, often literally ends in blood, some kind of bloodshed, even if it's just cutting your finger, you know. But it's that emotional push and urge that causes you to act in a unseemly and rather unskilled way. And that's really what mastery is about mastering your emotions so that you don't respond in an inappropriate way and cut yourself. usually it ends up in cutting yourself, you know. I did it the other week. I was probably not very, not in a very good mood and, chopped the end of my thumb off, with a, you know, the very tip, you know, not anything nasty, but I was, chopping wood with an axe. As you do when you live in a house that runs on a wood burning stove, you have to chop wood. You have to do all these like, rather dangerous things. But being able to be calm in a stressful situation is going to be more and more important because as we manifest more and more into the moment, you know, manifestation is not going to be something that you think about and then maybe a few hours later is going to come straight back. And so it's going to be very important during these moments. And who knows how these moments are produced? Maybe they're the product of small wormholes traveling through our space. Odd things are happening to people in a kind of non-homogeneous, rather granular fashion. I remember one of the predictions of the wave was that when the wave hit, it would cause trillions of wormholes to be released from the sun. So who's to say, you know, that we don't even know what a wormhole might look like. We may even not be able to recognize it, even if we were able to see it. We may think it's something else. We may think that we don't actually see it, that it's, you know, it's something that we don't actually see, like those little blips. You know those little electric blue blips that you see that you don't talk about? Yeah, everybody sees them. Nobody talks about them. Oh. So, we're just about up. It's been lovely to converse with Eva and yourselves this evening. I'll be on tomorrow. I hope Andrew's going to be back and fit, or back from Shasta. Yeah, and while shopping, what do you think of Inevitable? I don't think so. Certainly I learned various things, and I needed to do that. So, thank you very much, everybody. God bless you all. If you're having a weird day, I hope it gets better. Go to bed, take a rest, be calm,